It certainly is a joy to meet you all, some for the first time. I'm not one for much pleasantries before I get started, but I do ask that you pray for me. You know, the Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the word. He didn't tell him to entertain. And I pray that that's what happens today. We had an old-timey hog killing at the first of the year. And I've been wanting to build a smokehouse for a long time, and I finally got around to it. And I thought I had that slab just right. And I was off by a quarter of an inch, a little bit more, maybe a little bit more than that, of square. And by the time I got to up to the top building on it, it was off really bad. Why did I tell you that? Because I want to really, what's on my mind is God's creation and His power in creation. And if you, not just you or anybody, if we don't get the foundation exactly right, what's built upon it is going to be messed up and it's crooked.
Right.
Now, there's a lot to say about this. You know, there's a song, Be Still My Soul, in there. And in that second verse in that song, it says, Be still my soul, the winds and waves still know who ruled them while he dwelt below. They know who their creator is, and they're subject to him. Now, when God said, don't you love how God's word begins? In the beginning, God. There was nothing else. And whatever there was in chaos except for God. And in the middle, it's all God. And at the end, it's all God. Ain't that right? Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it says, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We know later on that He said, let us make man. We know from John that he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. So we've got the Father God, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God all together in one place in creation.
Amen.
And it starts out with the Trinity, and I want you to remember that there's unity in the Trinity.
Right.
There's I'm bringing up a lot of subjects now, aren't I? But in the Trinity, and I want you to remember this, that God will never say something that is contradicted by the Spirit of God, and they're all unified in their essence, and in their actions, and in whatever they say. So the Spirit of God will never lead you to do something that's outside of God's word.
Right.
Y'all got it?
Yep.
You can't say the Spirit's telling me to do this if it's not according to God's word.
Amen.
If you say that and the Spirit's leading you, it might be a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God leading you to do it. If it's contrary to God's word. How did I get off on that? Now, God said, let there be light, and that light was the light of men, John said. And lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that light is called, John called it the true light. Did you know that in the creation, that light separated, or God separated the light from the darkness. He divided it. What does that tell you? That there's a difference between light and darkness. And what is light? Well, I don't know. You do a Google on that and you're going to go down a rabbit hole. I did. They still argue about what light is. I mean natural light. Did you know that darkness prevails? When? Only in the absence of light. Only in the absence of light does darkness prevail. Wherever light is not, there is darkness. Did you know that the darkness comprehended it not? That doesn't mean it didn't understand it. That means it didn't overtake it or overpower it. The darkness cannot overpower the light. We know that's true in reality, don't we? If we turned off all the lights in here, what would happen? It'd be dark. And if you didn't want it to be dark, you have a flashlight and or any kind of light. You turn it on and it immediately illuminates where it shines. Isn't that right? Man has never been able to create, nor ever will be able to create, something called a flash dark that makes the light flee away. Think about it. It's not possible. Because the darkness does not overtake the light. And it certainly doesn't understand it. Now, that true light sustained God's creation for 3 days before He made the natural light. Y'all understand that? Jesus Christ is eternal. Let's get that. Jesus Christ was not created when God said, let there be light. He said, let it shine. Let it shine. So don't get the idea that Jesus Christ, that light that was, John said, was that light. Don't get the idea that God created Jesus or the Son of God. He's eternal, just like God. I don't understand. How could you even say that He's just as old as God is when eternity has no time limit to it? That's another rabbit hole you can go down when you start asking, what is time? Because man still can't define time. All they can do is measure it. And this is when it started. When God put... Why did He even put those stars and everything? The moon and the sun up in the sky? When He created those? He said, therefore what? Times. And for seasons. And for signs. And don't you love that? In verse 16 of chapter 1 of Genesis, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. You know why it's a lesser light? Because it really has no light of its own. It doesn't generate light. It just reflects the light. He's talking about the moon. You know, the moon doesn't generate any light. It just reflects the light that shines from the sun. God set them in the... and I love this. He made the lesser light to rule the night and get. Have you ever wondered about this? : He made the stars also. How hard was it for God to make the stars? Bible says he meted out the heavens with a span. Span of his hands. That meted out means he measured it. Now, if the vastness of the cosmos is measured by the span of God's hand, and we don't know how big the cosmos is. I mean, they've got telescopes now that are bigger than the Hubble. And they can see farther than they've ever seen before. And God's hand is bigger than that. How? That's a big God, isn't it? That's a powerful God. Now, we call this creation because it was. You know what creation means? Creation means that something came from nothing. People say, I created this. No, you didn't. You just rearranged some materials. You didn't create anything. You rearranged it. You took it and you molded it into something else. You cut something off and fitted something else. But God created the heaven and the earth. He made them from nothing. Isn't that amazing? It just appeared. Wow. What power is there in the voice of God? To create, actually create something. You know, there's a lot of people that they say they're creative. Now, I'll go with that. There are some people that are more creative. That means they learn how to adjust things, materials, and put different materials together in ways that are not in my brain. And I think, well, that was a great idea. But they can't create anything. Think about the power it took to create this earth and set it in order, because nothing was in order after he said, let there be light, and there was light, and he made the substances, but they were in no order. Did you know that God is a God of order? David said that he's a God of order. He's ordered in all things, and sure. That's amazing to me. There's a lot about the creation that I don't know because I wasn't there. All I know is what he said in this. I heard an old preacher say one time, he said, he was debating this other fella and who thought that, you know, believed in evolution or something. And he said, what are you? He said, I'm a man. He said, how do you know you're a man? Thought about it for a minute, and he said, well, I don't know. And he said, I'll tell you how you know you're a man, because that's what God called you. God said, let us make man in our own image. Our own image. Wow. What are we? Body, soul, and spirit? What is God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But those three things are in essence and unified. And we are all together now, aren't we? Body, soul, and spirit. But when we die, what happens? Our soul and spirit go back to God, and our body stays here. But it'll be reunited one day. But when God said, let us make man, he was talking about all three of them. And let us make this man in our image. And after the image of God, created he them. Talking about Adam and Eve. And it says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And, you know, he formed him out of the dust of the ground. Did you know all you are is dust? But it took the operation of God for that man to become alive. He had the form of a body. God formed him up. And I don't know how this looks, but I get in my mind, sometimes I think, that God just took the dust and molded it up in toes and toenails and legs. And, you know, like we do at the beach, you know, when we put sand all over Dad, you know, when the kids do that and they put sand all over Dad and it looks like a big old glob of some kind of body, you know, down there. And I think God was better at forming stuff than that. I mean, you think about our insides and our, how all those processes and how intricate the body is, and God just breathed into that dust heap and it became a living soul. That's powerful, isn't it? That's the power of God. And I want you to think, well, that's the creation. And God created that man Adam and that first woman Eve in the image of God, and he created them after his own image. What happened? I'm going to skip some. Well, of course you're going to skip some when you're talking about this. God looked, after 6 days, God looked at everything that he had made and he said, "That's good. That's very good. What I've done is good." And by God's own estimation, he said everything that he had made was good and very good. Boy, that's good stuff, isn't it? But I want you to realize that he created Adam after his own image, but he also, he didn't make him a god. Y'all understand that? He didn't give that man all of his attributes. That man was not sovereign. But that man was given free will. Y'all ever heard that before? He did. He gave him free will and free reign to operate within that garden that God placed him in. He didn't walk in that garden. God placed him in that garden. And God said, you can eat. You know, the first thing that man ever heard from God was he said, be fruitful and multiply. As the first thing that God said to them. He said, and I've given you all the seeds and over all the face of the earth, and every tree which is in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And then he goes and talks about the animals and stuff, and that he's given every green herb for men, for meat for them. And at that time, God created Adam and Eve uncorrupted, but corruptible. Y'all think about that for a minute. In that perfect, pristine condition, God created them not as gods. I mean, he didn't make them sinlessly perfected beyond reproach. But he made them uncorrupted but corruptible. If he would have made it incorruptible, they would have not been able to be corrupted by sin. And then God gave them one law. The next exchange we have between God and man is in Genesis 2 and 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. I want you to think with me for a minute. What all did that include? Every tree. What all did that include? What two trees really are under consideration? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That was in there. What was the other tree that was in there? The tree of life. In that perfect, sinless, uncorrupted state, God told him, in this condition, you can partake of the tree of life and live forever. I mean, I take that tree to be eternal life, don't you? Because what is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's eternal death, isn't it? Sin and death? I mean, that was a resulting thing that happened after Adam took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Was he fell in sin, wasn't it? And what's the result of that? Death, separation from God. So I take it to mean that if that's death, then the other one is life, eternally. So in that sinless condition that God created man in, that perfect man chose the bad with his own free will. Why in the world would anyone have the idea that if a perfect, sinless, uncorrupted man chose the bad, how could they ever think that a totally depraved, bankrupt sinner would ever choose the good?
That's right.
Amen. Y'all ever think about that?
Yes. Amen.
Now, that just don't make walking around sense. If a perfect man chose the bad, how could a sinless sinner ever choose the good? Now, God told him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt get sick. No. He said, you're going to die. And he died that day. God said, thou shalt surely die. Now, if God says something, it's going to come to pass, isn't it? It's going to happen. There's so many things. God makes good on every promise that He ever made. He is a covenant-keeping God. And what is that He told Timothy over there? He said he can't deny himself. Boy, that'll preach, won't it? That'll preach, man, to the positive every time that God can't deny himself, but that's true to the negative as well. If God said something, it's going to happen. He don't sweep it under the rug. He's a God of justice. And He's a God of mercy, hallelujah. But He's a righteous God. And He's a promise-keeping God, a covenant-keeping God. And that's the first promise that He ever gave to man. He said, if you eat in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And God cannot lie. And so when Adam, we know the story. God took the man and put him in there and said, you can eat of every tree. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now people will say, well, he didn't surely die because he lived 40, whatever years. I'm not a scriptorian, y'all. I can't keep all those figures in my head all the time. Y'all give me a little liberty. He lived a long time. They say, he didn't die that day. Yes, he did. He died to what? He died to a lot of things. Number one, he died in trespasses against God and in sins. And what's the result of that? It's separation from the relationship that God had with His perfect creation. With His sinless creation, let me say it like that. With His good creation. He made that man uncorrupted. Y'all remember this. He made him uncorrupted but corruptible. Able to be corrupted. And it didn't take man long to do it, did it? A day. Less than that. Or in that next day. I don't know. It wasn't long. And you know what Satan did? Y'all get this, because this is going on and this matters for our lives today. I want you, you don't, Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. Talking about Satan.
Right.
I believe very strongly that Eve was enamored with this serpent. I think, you know how we get attached to our puppy dogs or whatever? I think Eve was that way with the serpent, and that's the reason why Satan entered into that thing and came to her, and because she loved it, and he knew she loved it, that was his way in. That was his venue. That was his mode, his instrument. And he starts talking with this snake. This serpent starts talking to Eve. And I don't see her being all that surprised by that. I mean, that's amazing to me. I mean, it's not recorded. I don't know whether it startled her or what. But it didn't say she was startled by that. So we see chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle, isn't he though? He doesn't bust the doors down with a pitchfork and flaming grotesque horns and red suit, red faced. He doesn't come in like Hollywood would show him. He's subtle. He still uses subtlety. Don't be ignorant of his devices. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, he didn't say exactly what God said. God, that's partly right. And he said, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Three little letters contradicted God. And that's what Satan does. He contradicts God. And sometimes, a lot of times, he'll use God's word, or he'll twist God's word to get you to think that God's okay with this.
Right.
Don't be ignorant of his devices.
Right.
That's how he works. For God, and this, listen to how he justifies it. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Boy, what did he just do? He just said, there's something that you don't know that you need to know. You're in the dark, Eve, and if you eat this, you're going to know more. Well, that's what the name of the tree was, wasn't it? Tree of the knowledge. What she didn't understand was that it's better not knowing evil.
Amen.
Than it is to know it.
That's right.
Amen.
Woo! That's good stuff, isn't it? I wish I didn't know evil. But I do, and we all do. We're conceived knowing it. Now, hey, then your eyes shall be opened. Really, he said, you're in the dark. You need to know more. You don't have the whole story. But not knowing the whole story, from God's estimation, was a good situation to be in. And ye shall be, listen to this, here's another device. Number one, you don't know everything that you need to know. Number two, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What did he just do? He just told Eve that your current situation is not as good as it could be. You're missing out. You could be as gods. He was appealing to her nature. Her human nature. Even in an uncorrupted state.
Right.
There's something that you're lacking that you need. Mm-hmm. How many commercials do y'all see when you watch TV every day?
Too many.
What do every one of the commercials, almost every one of them, have in common? They get you to think that whatever situation you're in right now is not good enough. The car you drive is not good enough. The house you live in is not good enough. Your health that you have right now. I mean, how many commercials do they have of that'll say, are you over 40 and do you grunt, when you put on your shoestrings? Does your back hurt? Are you tired? Are you losing your memory? I mean, of course I am. We have a pill for that. You could live better. I mean, that's even the slogan in so many marketing things. Your current situation, and they try to get you to think, I am living pretty pitiful. I could do better. I could do better. This is a I'm convinced that the marketing industry was started by Satan himself. Or at least, let me back up. I'm not saying all marketing is bad. But it certainly uses the same tactics that Satan used.
Right.
Y'all ever thought about that? Don't be duped by these commercials out here, young ones and old ones. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So what was he doing? Satan was saying, he was appealing to her and saying, you'd be content if you had what I'm offering. I'm going to stop and tell y'all a story. I like stories. I'm going to take a drink of water first. Because water's good. Hey, can't live without it. In my job as an occupational therapist, I worked with kids, disabled children. And just by reason of that industry, there's not a whole lot of big or even little guys in my profession. So our office had about, 75 or 100 women in it, and I was the only man. And in every year, our boss likes to, or she used to, I don't work there anymore. She used to do something for the employees, and she would get a motivational speaker to come talk to us about, something to do with kids. And so we got this lady to come from Minnesota. Okay, now I live in Tennessee. And so we were all, and they provided a meal for us, and it was an appreciation, really, to show us how much she appreciated us. And to give us a day off work, you know. So this lady comes down and she's wanting to, you know, rev us up for the upcoming school year, whatever. And she said, "I love to fish." Being in Minnesota, she said, "And I like to catch them big old pike, those dinosaur fish that get 6 feet long, that got teeth that long." She said, "I love to fish for them." And she said, "And I've got a lot of lures." And she said, "Those fish are attracted to, you know, certain colors based on the sun or whether it's dark or whatever." I mean, she was a real fisherman. And so in there, she had put up a slide on the wall and said, "If you were a fish, which one would you be attracted to?" And she had some of the lures were pink, and some of them were blue, and some were polka dotted, some of them were chartreuse and orange or whatever. She had about six or seven of them up there. And so everybody said, they said, "Ooh, I like the pink one. I like that one. I like this one. I like the blue one with the polka dots." And I raised my hand and she said, "Yes, sir. Which one would you be attracted to? And which one would you bite?" And I said, "I'd go for the one that didn't have a hook in it." She had one lure up there that didn't have any hooks on it. And she said, "I've been teaching this and using this as a motivational speak for 30 years. And not one person ever noticed that there wasn't a hook in one of those lures. You're the first one." And I said, that showed me something that people don't, these kids, they're not looking, and that was her point. The kids aren't looking at the hook. They're looking at the glitter. They're looking at the prettiness of it. My friends, I want you to start looking for the hook.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Look for the hook. Oh, that's catchy, isn't it? I just came up with that. Satan will paint a beautiful picture of what you desire. But make no mistake, young ones, it always has a hook on it. And what he paints is just a facade. He'll never give you what he promises, but God will always give you what he promises. Always. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I mean, she entertained it. But let's not be too hard on Eve because she had never been lied to before. She had no reason to question his motives. But what she did have was said, "Okay, God said don't do it. And we probably ought to go with what God said." She thought in her mind, she entertained what Satan was putting out there, and it turned out bad, didn't it? Turned out bad, because she bit the hook. And once you bite the hook, I mean, some of my fish that bite the hook get off of it, but, you know, if you bite Satan's hook, you ain't getting off. You're going to suffer the consequences. And she certainly did. Listen to this. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," it's pleasant to the eyes. I mean, she was considering this, wasn't she? "And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." You know, when I was a kid, I used to think that she did that all by herself and that he wasn't watching her. He was right there watching her do it, and he did not stop her. He did not intervene. So the sinless man still wasn't perfect, was he? I called him perfect earlier, but he wasn't. I mean, he still had some things that were not exactly right. I mean, he was still good. I mean, he was good because he was sinless. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Isn't that what all sinners do when they find out that they've done wrong? What do they try to do? What do human beings try to do? They try to hide it, don't they? They try to cover it up, don't they? That's what they call it when the news people get out there and say, "Oh, we found a cover up." It's because nobody wants to admit that they've done wrong, and they don't want other people to know that they've done wrong. And Adam and Eve didn't want God to know that they had done wrong, and so they hid themselves. And God asked Adam a question, said, "Where art thou?" It wasn't because God didn't know where he was or what he had done. It's because he wanted him to own up to what he had done. And Adam, he said, "Where was afraid?" He said, "What have you done?" He said, "Well, we ate of the tree." And he said, "And we were afraid. We're naked." And God said, "Who told you you was naked?" He said, "Well, we ate of the tree that you told us not to." God set all three of them down, just like I used to do my kids. I only got two children, but I'd set them down and I'd say, "All right, you tell me what happened." They'd be right here and I'd say, "Drew, what'd you do? What happened?" And he'd give me his story. And it was never, "Dad, I'm sorry, I did this." He'd say, "Well, Hannah did this." You know, Adam said, "The woman you made me." Adam blamed God for what he did. And he goes to Eve and said, "Eve, what did you do?" And she said, "Well, Satan beguiled me, and I did eat." She had a better excuse than Adam did, but they both blamed the wrong person. Adam blamed God and Eve blamed Satan. "Satan, it's your fault. God, it's your fault." And the fault lied solely within themselves.
Right. Amen.
But nobody like you want us one. You wonder because human beings ain't changed since that day. Human beings still want to blame someone else and not to take it on their own selves. Because it hurts. Because that's the enmity against God. We're afraid of God. And guess what happened? God said, "Because you've done this, first of all, the whole earth's going to be cursed. The earth is cursed. And you're going to have to work. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to eat. You're going to eat by the sweat of the brow." The woman, he said, "I'm going to increase your pain in childbirth." What else happened as a result of man's disobedience to God's one law? Because really, that was that one law that God had was, "Be obedient to me." I mean, he said, "Don't eat of the tree," but the basic, when you boil it all down, was, "Be obedient to me." By one man's what? Sin. Disobedience. Sin entered into the world by one man's sin. What did God do as a result? The same garden that God had placed him in, he thrust him out of that garden. Never to return. To not only And I tell you, what did God do? God took a cherubim and put a flaming sword in the entrance gate into that garden, and that kept the way of the tree of life. Why? And I tell you, that was a merciful act on God's part, because he lest the man would go back in and in that sinful state eat of the tree of life and live forever in that sinful state. What is it? You know, you tell me what you think about what happened in the garden, and I'll tell you what you believe about salvation. Because the Jesus that's promoted today is that Jesus came to make it possible for you to go to heaven. And my friends, God from that very garden beginning said it's impossible for man to get there without me. I put a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life, and man cannot enter back into my garden and even touch my tree of life unless something else has got to happen. And so man was from having that first free will that man ever had in that that uncorrupted but corruptible state, and having that free will choice between those, God removed that from the eternal part of salvation. He removed that on that day, and he thrust out the man and said, you can't come back in here. You don't have that anymore. The cherubims guard it. The flaming sword guards it. No man has the ability to go back in the garden and partake of the tree of life. And you see it every day. Heaven or hell, it's your choice. Hogwash. Hogwash. My goodness. The Bible's pretty clear on it, isn't it? From the very beginning, if we just look at what the Bible says, we'll understand about all of what Jesus did. Man, this is big stuff, isn't it? So many people that believe in the creation of God and the power of God in creation will promote an idea of spiritual evolution. But I want you to know that when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, I submit to you, because haven't you heard we're all created by God? No. No. Adam and Eve were the only two human beings that were ever created naturally. Y'all think about this with me now. Don't dismiss me just because I said something you ain't heard, might not have heard before. Adam and Eve are the only two human beings that were ever naturally created by God. And they messed it up. Y'all remember what happened, what the Bible says, that when he brought forth Eve was conceived again after. And you know, it didn't take long for sin to rear its ugly head, did it? Because what happened to the first procreated man that ever was born into the world? He murdered his brother.
That's right.
The effects of sin are evident, aren't they? Murder. It says that she, after he murdered Abel, she brought forth another son after his own likeness. Talking about Adam's own likeness and own image. My friends, as human beings that are breathing and living today, we were not created by God naturally. We were procreated by our parents. And our parents are just, y'all remember them old mimeograph machines? Some of y'all, most of y'all are old enough, some of you younger ones don't know, but we used to make copies on, and they put that paper, and it was purple ink, and they put it, and it was a round thing, and you'd go like this. All we are is a copy of 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 a copy. It's real blurry compared to the original.
That's right.
Man, it's getting time to quit. When we are the only creation that we are is a new creation. This body was not created, but I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. When God borns you again, when God subdues you and changes you by the new birth, it's a new birth. It's not one of them old ones like my natural birth. That's the old man. The new man is created in Christ Jesus. And what happens in that new creation? It's the same power that it took when, that was displayed. And when God said, let there be light in creation, and He said, let there be light in you, and it was the same power then as it was in creation, and you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. It took the power of God's voice to do it.
Right.
It wasn't no spiritual evolution that was based on me and my choice. It was solely and unequivocally by the power of God.
Right.
This Bible's pretty simple, really. It is simple. Wow. A new creation in Christ Jesus. By the same power that it took. By the same power that said, let there be light, and there was light. Wow. You see, if you just believe that Adam stumbled, and he got back up, and he's okay, then you're not looking at the Bible right.
Right.
You're not reading it correctly.
That's right.
When Adam fell, he didn't just stumble. He fell all the way.
That's right.
He was unable to recover himself and regain his pristine, uncorrupted position, condition, anymore.
That's right.
Something had to happen for that to occur. He had to be made a new creature, but that wasn't on his own. That also was by the power of God saying, live, and he lived. That's the same light that separated. God divided the light from the darkness. When he says, let there be light in you, guess what? There's light. There is light. When he says, live, you live. Isn't that great? What does man have to boast about? Not one thing of his own. If I'm going to boast, Paul said, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in God.
Amen.
He said, and I will glory in God. That's our purpose as new creations, is to glorify God with our mouth, with our mind, with our actions, and with our praise. And all glory goes to our Creator. What a blessing it is to be here today. May God bless you, is my prayer.
Amen.